Jesus, we thank you so much for your presence, sweet Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Have your rightful way in our midst, O God. We pray that you bless the teaching and preaching of your word tonight. Let your word affect us in the name of Jesus, that we may live here a better people than we came. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, lead us into your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Shall we be seated in the presence of the Lord? Amen. Please, you can have your seat. Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Are we all doing well? How was your day? Wow. It's the blessing of the Lord. Amen. You are in the presence of a great King. Amen. And don't take it lightly at all. Amen. The Lord is here. The lesser, the merrier. Amen. You will take a greater portion home tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I see the Lord affecting our lives. Even as we spend these few hours of our in the presence of God. Amen. I see the Lord blessing us and taking us higher in his calling and our walk with him. Amen. Before I share what I have for you with you tonight, I want to thank God so much for the life of our presiding bishop and the life of other bishops, founding fathers of Lighthouse Chapel International. Amen. Who have seen far and have laid down their lives, their career, and everything that a church should start. Amen. Of which we are sharing in their grace and the blessing that God has blessed them with. Amen. I also want to thank God for the life of our father, Reverend Bright. I tell you, I feel the anointing behind the pulpit. And I believe I'm standing in his anointing. Amen. When Reverend teaches, I believe all of us understand, right? So I believe I'm shining that anointing to preach and you understand. Amen. The teaching anointing is upon me fully. Amen. And tonight you'll be blessed. Amen. You see, when I was deciding upon what to preach, I have a lot of things to share. But the problem is what to share. Amen. But I believe God has laid upon my heart to share something with you. I don't have the notes, but I will share with you. Amen. The title of my message tonight will be, Show Me the Proof of Your Faith. Show me the proof of your faith. Amen. Before I start, let's read something from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. Our laptop, Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. You see, one of the things which is encouraged in the church is that I must be able to provoke you to love and unto good works. That's what that scripture is saying. Amen. So tonight, don't feel some way when you are provoked. Because just like the title said, show me the proof of your faith. It sounds like, I'm doubting that even you have faith. Yeah. Amen. And don't feel judged by the message. Amen. I believe one of the ways by which you know that God is speaking is by when the word is preached and you feel like there's a fault and there's a need for you to correct something in your life. Amen. Amen. You see, and now what has left the church is that the fact that you cannot tell someone the right thing to do. Amen. Before you write, the person said, you are judging me. Look at you. You are judging me. But that's another that you'll be judged. Then the person begins to quote Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Amen. But Bible says, for we do err, or we do go into error, not knowing the scriptures and the power of God. Amen. So apart from that scripture in the Bible, there's another scripture which encourages us to judge people in the church. Amen. Let's read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians chapter 5. Common English Bible, please, so that we will understand. Amen. Do you have it? Okay, this one is okay. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not much as named among Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Amen. Amen. This one is like sleep. The guy or the person in the Bible is having affair with the stepmom. Amen. Let's continue. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Let's go. For verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I was present concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one unto Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our, of Jesus, of Lord, of our, of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. Like what you are taking pride in is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleaved. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of the malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world. Do you understand? Or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye need to go out of the way. So what he's saying, that he's talking about fornicators outside, not in the church. You see, he said, if that's the case, then you have to go out of the world. Then the next verse says what, something. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or a extortioner, with such one have no, with such and one know not to eat. You don't even have to eat with the person. Amen. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without, like those who are outside? Do not ye judge them that are within? Can you give me NLT? I think King James is more poetic. And it isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it is certainly your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. Amen. Do you get it? So you are quoting Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. But here is another scripture which is encouraging us that when somebody is not doing something right in the church, you have the right to tell the person. Amen. Amen. So, therefore, I have a question for us all. What have you, or what have we been doing with the series of messages we have been hearing? What have we been doing with the series of messages we have been hearing? For some of us, we keep piling messages, preaching, camps, meeting upon meeting on each other. Everywhere you are sharing, all night prayers, there's a preaching. Amen. But certainly, we are not doing anything. If I can say clearly, many of us don't have a lot to show for the preaching and the teachings we have received. Amen. Amen. And that's not a good way to react or to respond to the word of God. Amen. It is certainly a bad way and not encouraged to respond to the word of God. Amen. Amen. When God speaks to us, God expects an action from us. God expects that when you hear the word of God, you must come out with a response, an appropriate response to the word of God. Amen. Let's read something from Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. Most of us are not really doing anything. Are you there? 2 Timothy 3, 16. Bible says, for all scripture is given by God, by the inspiration of God. For all scripture is given by, is inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true and what to make us realize that, realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Amen. Amen. So Bible is telling us that the end product of the scriptures that we receive is to come out with a work or to incite in us certain action, which is work, to do good work. Amen. The Bible says the scripture is used, is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. Amen. And for reproof, like for rebuke. So these are the four uses of the Bible, the word of God. That when you read Genesis, the Bible says all scripture is first inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, teaching. And after that, you can use the scripture to rebuke. Then you can use to correct someone and to receive an instruction. So when someone gives you a command, what is expected of you is to do something. Amen. So Bible is saying that the end of it is that God is using the scripture to prepare us to have good works. Amen. So when you keep piling messages upon messages and you are not bringing out appropriate response to the word of God, you develop a certain condition of the heart called the hardness of heart. Amen. Which in modern terms is called stubbornness. And Bible says that is as the sin of witchcraft. So the end product is that you become a witch or a wizard. Amen. Because you know a lot, you become very resistant to the word of God, which will be coming your way. Amen. You develop a strong immunity to, strong spiritual immunity to the word of God, which you will be hearing. Amen. And the word of God seem not to affect you, seem not to impact on your life anymore. Amen. And it's a very dangerous thing for us Christians. Amen. That when you hear the word of God, the word of God doesn't affect you. Like you are not moved. Amen. And why will you become a witch or a wizard? It's because you know a lot and you tend to use the scripture to control others without you really doing anything. Amen. The principle of being a witch is just manipulating people. You command people, like you sit when you give us a posture, we can't even talk to you. Because you know a lot. In fact, what the scripture I'm sharing, you know it. You can even explain it better than me. And you know the scripture as you used to back this. Meanwhile, I'm not using it. But I thank God you are not the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, when you begin to hear word of God and you are not reacting, you develop that state, which is not nice at all. Amen. Another thing that is possibly to happen to you is that you become a fool. Amen. Bible says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be likened to what? A fool. Amen. Amen. Which is very dangerous. You know a lot, but you become a fool. Amen. Another thing which can happen, possibly happen to you, is that you will not be blessed. Amen. In the absence of blessing is what? I'm not the one who said it. Amen. So, you will not be blessed. Bible says, anybody who becomes just a hearer is not blessed. But the person who becomes a hearer and a doer. James chapter 1, verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straight forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. Amen. So you see that hearing the word of God and not doing it, is it the same thing? Amen. Amen. One of the things which can also happen to you is that you become spiritually obese. Amen. You become so fat spiritually. Amen. You know a lot, so your faith has really increased above number. You become so fat that you begin to swell up. Amen. And pride will fail you. Amen. Because you know a lot. You can't receive no more. You are oversized. Nobody can encourage you. Nobody can tell you what to do. Amen. You become spiritual. You see, when you see physical obesity, what also happened to those people is that most of them are diabetic. You see, and the diabetes leads to diabetic neuropathy or polyneuropathy. Like, you become insensitive. When you even step on the nail, you don't know that you are stepping on the nail. So, you become so, the word of God doesn't affect you. You are big, insensitive. Just nothing will move. And you also develop atherosclerosis. High blood pressure. High blood pressure. You see cholesterol accumulating in your vessels. Your heart cannot be able, you see that when you are breathing, you are panting, you are stretching out to breathe. Amen. Amen. So these things are not good signs. Or do you like to be a diabetic patient? It's not at all. Amen. So a time will come in your Christian walk where you see that God is no more speaking to you. God will no more be talking to you. Do you know why people repeat classes? Like when they say somebody is repeated in school. It's just because the person cannot handle the information given. The last information, set of information, he can't handle it. Amen. You see, in these health professional courses, there's a package that they prepare for you that, okay, you are taking these 3 courses per semester. Do you see? And either you pass all the courses or you fail. Or you are repeated. So, assuming you are taking a course like psychology, physiology, and anatomy, and you pass anatomy, physiology, but cannot pass psychology, then you cannot move on to the next level. Do you see? So, that means you cannot just handle the last pack of information given to you. Do you see? So, the school may decide that, oh, we give you the option that you can move on. Amazingly, those people who need to repeat will gladly move on, despite the fact that should they have the opportunity to move on without necessarily passing the course? So when maybe the dean comes around and says, oh, I have this option for you, we know that you have failed the course, but just move on. They will gladly move on. Do you see? I remember back in school in Ghana, there was this guy, we did all the courses that we could. He did very well. He had a few courses, and there was a course like pathology, which is a very severe and headache for everyone. If you pass that course, you know that you are completing the school. Amen. Unfortunately for this, my friend, he was caught up and that's by the professor. And that professor, when he is teaching you, you cannot even laugh in class. Amen. So he went to see the professor. I said, "Professor, I beg you, look at my transcript. I have done very well in all these courses. Just compliment it and let me pass." The professor said, "No way." Amen. So if we cannot fool a professor, what, I don't know what to, is making us believe that we can fool God. Amen. So God will stop talking to you. Amen. You will no more be able to receive from God. And God have nothing new. What, you see, what is there for me to tell you? If I've given you a set of information and you cannot handle the first set of information, or you are not working with the first information, then the essence that will give you is just useless. Amen. So God will no more be speaking to you. So you think that you have listened to all the preaching before. He said that God is not speaking to you. Because at every instant that you listen to a message, there's something new to learn. But because of that, you think that you are so knowledgeable. No, you don't know. Amen. You cannot, God will not be speaking to you. Amen. I'm building up a message. Amen. So, we cannot fool God. Amen. You cannot fool God. And we need to respond to the word of God with appropriate action. Just sitting and listening to message is not enough. There must be a work. That's why the title of the message is what? Show me the proof of your faith. Amen. My Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So I know that you have a faith, but what is your proof? What's the proof of your faith? Read with me from James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. Are you there? What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have no works? Can faith save him? Bible is saying that, what does it profit, my brethren? Do you see? Or what does it profit if, my brethren, if you only believe? Though a man say he believe and hath no works, can that belief save him? Ask your neighbor, do you believe? Do you believe? And Bible is saying that, can that belief that you have save you without works? Verse 15. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, oh, the scripture 15. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, Bible is saying that a sister, some brothers will say, thank God. Amen. Bible says, if a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which they are needful to the body, what does it profit? So, somebody is hungry. A sister is hungry and it comes to you. Oh, I'm hungry, I need food to eat. Then you said, it's powerful. God will bless you. My sister, be filled. You see, and when you are hungry, you feel a lot, you feel cold more. So say, be ye warmed. Bible say, what profit or what benefit is it? What is it useful? There's no use. Amen. Even so, you see, Bible is saying that even so, like this, it's just like this. You see, how many of you will wish that the brother will give you, or the person will stretch their hand and say, oh, Or I'll stretch my hand from my pocket and say, take this $20, go and get food. Or me, I prophesy to you, sister, you are okay. Your life is better. God will take care of you. Bible says it doesn't profit anything. Amen. Bible says, even so, if it has not works, it is dead. Even so, faith, if it has no work, or believing without works, is dead, being alone. Amen. So, it is not enough to just believe. It is not enough to claim that, oh, I have been to this camp. I have listened to this podcast. I am in the messages without works. Do you see? Even so, look, okay, you can decide to listen to all the podcast messages. You have the faith. You have the belief. But without works, Bible says it is, what profit will you gain? What use of it? So is this, many of us have listened to messages. Preaching or preaching. When I came here, the first message I heard on Tuesday night was, you, many are called. You see, and the Sunday is the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit on your marriage. Amen. Since then, we have been having a lot of preaching sessions. But I know, I remember to Reverend share something on how to honor the man of God. And by saying that is by gathering, making a lot of people gather for him to preach to. But nothing has happened. You see, it is more dangerous for those of us who are always present in those meetings. I have listened. Yeah, you can. You have listened to them. And so what? Look, don't be so impressed with people who claim to believe. Don't be so impressed that I believe. Don't be so impressed. It is not enough. Bible says, what profit has it? It has no profit. So that I believe, that I listen to the message. Okay, me, I listen to Reverend every day. You listen to Bishop every day without works. Then you are becoming diabetic. I'm sorry to tell you, but you are becoming obese. Amen. And probably, Bible says, when knowledge increase, people become, you easily to become a fool. If you increase so much in knowledge, it becomes a burden unto you. You have knowledge of everything. You see, it is just like you were a kid getting to know about a family problem. You become worried. You, as if the problem is yours, but it's not yours. You cannot do anything to change it. So when it becomes a burden upon you, and later you start fooling yourself around, the cry that you don't have to cry, you start crying. Amen. So you have, just because you have obtained knowledge about the problem makes you worry. Amen. So Bible says, even so, faith, if it has not works, it is dead and being alone. There's nothing in addition to it. Let's continue. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You claim you have listened to the podcast. You've been to the camps. I have not been there. I don't know anything about podcasts. I don't know anything about camps. But I can show you that I was able to bring this person to church. That is my work. If I was saying that, if a man say, look, you can tell me that you have the faith and I have the works. But show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith not with my works, but by my works. So what the Bible is trying to let us understand that your faith, the proof of your faith is your work. Wow. The proof of your faith, it's your work. Look, Bible says that if a man believe and he confess that the Lord Jesus, he shall be saved. Bible gives us a reason that we believe with the heart and with the mouth. You do something with it. You confess with the mouth. That's the work. The heart believes. But there's another part of it. You see, you cannot, it's not enough just to claim to have listened to the podcast. Show me your, you believe. You believe you are called by God. Show me a proof that you are called by God. It is not enough saying it around. And we charismatic Christians, that's how we have become. We love the excitement. You love the jargons. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shame powerful. But surely, nowhere to show. Nowhere to show. Look, I'm saying it because I know that you are the shepherds. And I'm also a shepherd. So it's not that I'm exempted from what I'm saying. You see, I told you I did not prepare this thing. But it's maybe my question I'm sharing. Amen. Amen. If a man, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. I don't argue with that. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith, not with my works. Not that I'm showing, I'm bringing my faith with my works, but by my works, which is a proof of my works. You believe you are called to sing? Why are you not singing? It's not enough to believe. It's not enough to just believe and sit down there. Come up here and stand here and sing, so that we know that you can sing. You believe that you are a shepherd. Begin to teach. That we know. The principal duty of a shepherd is to feed. Do you see? But you see, and God always give people. The reason God give most of us shepherds is because God knows that we lack a lot. Amen. We lack, and feeding is the principal duty of the shepherd. The prayer that you pray, the counseling, the interaction, all is part of the feeding. Amen. You believe that you've read the books. Begin to put into work what you have read in the book. All of us have listened about the PVCI. But the question is, you are a shepherd, I'm also a shepherd. Who are you preaching to? Who are you visiting? It's not enough to believe that it is a principle which works for Lighthouse. Put it to practice. Amen. Thou may say, I have works and you have faith. Show me your faith without your work. You can't. There's no proof. I cannot see your faith. Can you see somebody's faith? You cannot say. Look, I believe that's why even in a relationship, a guy may tell you, show me that you love me. Because that guy is not even impressed by the fact that you are always telling me I love you. He wants something more than what you have been saying, because you don't know the heart of a man. You don't know the deception. Many people will trick you. Matricule. Let me tell you, matricule. Amen. So it is not enough. It's not enough that you claim to believe. You see, you need works to back that you believe. Let's continue. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Say, tell to your neighbor, congratulations for believing. Bible says, thou believest that there is one God. Look, you see, many people struggle with that there is God. So even if you have done that, congratulations. Clap for yourself. If you have done that, congratulations. You believe that there is one God, congratulations. Thou doest well. But let's continue. The devil also believe and tremble. You see, Bible is saying that the devil also believe that there is one God. And as in addition to his belief, he has something to tremble in addition. Do you understand? I don't feel like you understand. Thou believe that there is one God, thou doest well. Congratulations, my neighbor. You have done very well for believing that there's one God. But the Bible is saying that the devils, like not one, all of them, they believe, also believe and tremble. So the devil is doing extra work to show you that actually I really believe that there's one God. Do you see? So you claim that, oh, you believe that there's one God. You are not trembling. That's why you can come to church and sleep. You see, we are in church and we are singing. You can afford to fold your arms and stand and look at us. Bible said when they got to the church, they were trembling. Did you read in the Bible? Bible says that one time Jesus Christ was walking and the devil ran to meet him and said, are you here to torment us? How many of us run to church today? None. It is not enough. You run to church. Amen. You are doing. So you can see that even devils are doing better than some of us. They are showing us by their words that actually we believe that there is God. Trembling. From their head to toe, they are shaking. They are standing in the presence of God. You see, when you command devils, they leave. So why is that when you have been given a command, you don't move?
because you say, you devil,
come out. And they leave the person. But you, despite the great commission that they've given you, you are not moving yet. Do you see? So actually, these people, the devils, they are doing better than some of us Christians. They believe and extra, they add something to it that I will tremble for you to see that I really believe that there is one God. Amen. Amen. But with that vain man, empty man, that faith without works is dead, was not Abraham our father justified by was not Abraham our father justified by works? Do you see that Abraham was made right not just by believing, but he has some works to do? You see, when we talk of Abraham, what comes to mind? Man of faith. You see, this guy is doing some spiritual thing, you know. Man of faith. What does that mean? Faith man. No. You see, you are some begin to sound so deep. Again, something which is usual to all of us. That I will see that you are faith. In the Bible, what man of faith? You are saying man of faith. You see, these are some of the things that we do. What is the one story that comes to mind when you hear about it? Sacrifice his son. That's what you are talking. That's the work. You are trying to tell me another thing that I cannot understand, which is faith. It's theoretical. You see, we believe so much. You see, highfalutin words don't seem to work for us as Christians. Instead, that we come down. Bible says that when you read about Abraham sacrificed Isaac. You see, and Bible is saying that was not Abraham our father justified by works? Which work? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. That was the work that justified by works. You think that is faith. It was the work that proved that this guy had faith in God. Amen. Amen. When God actually called him, the man was not believed that there is God, or God has given him the son. But he did something to believe. You see, he could have decided that, I'm not giving up my son. That's not faith. Though he believed that there is God. But what shows that he really believed that there is God, or it is really God that gave him the son? Bible says, by when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Amen. Amen. That is certainly work. It's not just by saying that he believed in God. So Bible is saying that it is by the work that he did. Amen. Amen. This, you understand that, you see, God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son for him. Only. And you see, many of us have one thing to sacrifice, but always we are praying for faith. Let's read something from, I believe, Luke chapter 17. If you can give me the Message version. Amen. The disciples also did the same thing that we have been doing. And he said unto his disciples, hard trials and temptations are bound to come, but too bad for whoever brings them on. Better to wear a milestone necklace and take swim in the deep blue sea than give even one of these dear little ones a hard time. Be alert. If you see your friend going wrong, correct him. If he respond, forgive him. Even if it's personal against you and repeated seven times through the day, and seven times he say, I am sorry, I won't do it again. Forgive him. Then, Bible says, the apostles came up and said to the master, give us more faith. You see, God is saying that, Jesus Christ is telling them that, forgive the person. This is what I'm telling you. They actually, for them to do this thing, they rather feel that they need more faith. Okay, let's continue. Look at the answer that Jesus said. But the master said, you don't need more faith. There's no more or less in faith. You don't need more. Many of us Christians, instead of us to do some work, we are praying for more faith. Bible is saying that Jesus answered and said, you don't need more faith. You don't need any more. Samuel, what we have is enough. Mr. Bunsen, what you have is enough for you to do a lot of work. There's no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kind of faith, you say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, go up in the lake and it will do it. Wow. Amen. So, as for them to even forgive sinners, somebody who mistake, they want faith again. What faith do you need again? Just forgive. Because if the person come and say, I'm sorry, don't think about faith. Forgive the person. Amen. And they said, just increase our faith. Jesus said, no, you don't need more. Amen. Let's go back to our scripture. Are you blessed? Are you understanding? Is it making sense? So, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Amen. This scripture is also making us understand that, you see, it's not by being proper, like being perfect, which will also make you justified before God. Amen. Amen. Look at Abraham, our father that we all know. Abraham was this gentleman who his wife Sarah suggested to him that there is this maiden in the house, and that since you are not getting a child, take this child, sleep with this lady so that you can give birth. Abraham did not question his wife at all. What does that suggest to you? A married man. And the wife said, oh, you take this one since we are not getting this thing. Take this person. Abraham did not question it at all. Then he suggests to you that Abraham also was looking for extra work to do. So Abraham wasn't perfect at all. Do you see? He also had the desire that you are having. The feeling that is going through you, he was also having it. He could have questioned. Look, Abraham could have risen. It was the same Abraham that the wife suggested to him that, you see, the child that is born and the mother sacked them. Abraham said, no. That means Abraham has a way of reasoning. Do you see? He could have reasoned with the wife and said, wife, don't you think what I am doing will be adultery? Don't you think so? So this is not based on perfection that Abraham was justified. You see, he was justified by work. He did something. And Bible is saying that what he did was that he offered his son Isaac upon the altar. Amen. You see, most of the time, God, it's hard for God to obtain perfect people. That's why you and I, we are sitting here. You see, many of the perfect people are not here. It's hard. Just like how maybe it will be easy for you to buy an auction car than a car from the dealership. You see, when you have not been through issues, or when you have not suffered in life, or you've not experienced a certain form of sin, it becomes hard for God to use you. Or when you have a certain kind of job that you are doing, or you've been to a certain class of school, you see, or you are from a certain home that you don't read labels before you buy, or you don't check the price tag, but you just go and just read label which day will this thing expire, and you collect it and you gather it like this and put it in a package. You have a certain kind of, you are becoming a proper person, you are a perfect person. or you don't experience some simiazo, or you have not failed an exam before. So it's like you, there is your strength. But if you have the opportunity to fail an exam and receive the exam and pass the exam, you become so humble. And when God said, "I am calling you," you understand that actually it is God who is actually calling you. But that perfect life will cast that sin out of you, that it was actually God. You see, that's why we are here, because you have been through something, one way or the other. Or a young sister or a young brother, you are growing, you are a virgin. It's hard for God to obtain. You are God. So you see, it is easy to go and get a car that is at the dealership. It's on auction than at the dealership, because that car has maybe somersaulted into the river and I drank a lot of water. Amen. Or maybe accident car. It's like, you see, like there's torture. Something has happened to the body. So you can see that most of us are squeezing ourselves. Not because, but you see that, you see, when nothing has happened to you, when you are walking, your waist will be like this. Your hand will be like your side. And we don't know, you can't even measure your size. Amen. So that's the same way that perfect people are hard for God to obtain. Do you see? And I believe that Abraham could have withheld Isaac. Do you see? Just like how most of us are withholding the things that God have need of. Amen. Amen. You see, God asked Abraham to go to a mountain and go and sacrifice his only son. Do you see? Most of us, before God gave him a substitute for the Isaac, most of us have something that we need to give up or we need to sacrifice to God, but we are not ready to climb up to the mountain and say, "God, I'm ready to lay it down." And God will give you a substitute. And I believe that a substitute exists for all of us. A substitute exists for all of us, but just that we are not ready to offer it. You see, you may think that job that you have is the only job in the world. That the job which is preventing you from worshiping God the way you have to worship God. The job that, since you decide to embrace that job, you are no more in church. Or you are struggling with your quiet time because you have to wake up early. You don't even pray. You come back late. You are tired. You see? But we are not ready to lay that aside. But I believe that there's a substitute. Amen. The friends we are holding on to, the boyfriend that we have before we came to the church. I mean, we continue to listen to the song that we are listening to. Nothing is changing about our life. We are not ready to lay down that song that God will give you a song. Look, when I became a Christian, there's one song that I like, Abrewanana. That was the favorite song that I like. Abrewanana and Samini, the first one we call Batman. Batman. You see, whenever I'm in my room, when you come, the sound system is 4. So I open it, and when I'm in it, then I'm cruising. You see? But when I came to the church, I was told that, "Young man, you can't listen to that song." And I believe that God knew my heart, that I'm willing to let it go. And God gave me the like for hill songs. So I developed strong like for hill songs. Now I don't listen to any other song. I don't know jazz. I mean, if you mention jazz, I don't even know what is called jazz. Do you see? And by the grace of God, I don't listen to those songs again. In fact, I don't know the last time I was checking about Abrewanana again. But first, I have the whole album. And I open it loud because I just like the way she sings. And I like when Batman is remiss with the rap. Then everything is charm. I'm gone. Amen. So it is with some of us. There are some things. I mean, you are a Christian, but you are still drinking. You are still smoking. You see, you are still with the boy that you are with. And it may look like there's no other option for you. That, "Oh God, when I leave this brother, who will come and take me?" You see, but Abraham also was offering the only thing that he has. Amen. And it's until the time you decide that, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to the altar," God will not give you that substitute. God will not give that person that he has prepared for you. Look, this is the person that God has given to Abraham. A son that he has given to him. And God demanded it. What of the one that you went for yourself? You see, most of us, if you know that it's God that gave me that brother, hey, I'm going to die with him. I will never leave him. This is my life. Lord, I've been looking for this opportunity. And now you have given me. Me that I don't have a son. You give me a son. You want me to sacrifice it? You must be joking. Amen. And definitely, when you have a friend who is going to sacrifice a son because of God, you tell him that he's on cheap drugs. You are crazy. That God has revealed to you that this is the brother you want to marry. And the brother is misbehaving. And God is now telling you that, oh, I want to test your faith, but I want you to bring that brother. Or just leave the brother. Hey, because you have shown me this dream. And the way you do it, ha, God, me? To leave him? To leave him? Makumaswadiye? Me, God? You see, you cannot even surrender that person. Amen. But I believe there's a substitute for all of us. And there's a lot of things we need to let go of it by showing that we really believe. By showing that we really believe. Amen. Amen. That you really believe that there is a God. You'll be justified by works. It's not just simple that I believe that there is God. You are in church, you believe that there is God. But why is that you are not able to let go of that one thing which is preventing you? The friends, you see, the college friends, the people that you know that they are not helping your Christian life. And by the way, you see, when you want to stretch believing, many people become unbelievers automatically. For instance, you can be a Christian, but you don't believe in tithe. In relation to tithe, you are an unbeliever to me. Do you understand it? Who is an unbeliever? Somebody who doesn't believe. So, in the same way, we Christians believe that somebody is an unbeliever. If the person does not believe that there is God, that's how those are the people we unbelievers, or the person who does not accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior. Do you see? In the same way, in the church, we can also stretch it further. Or maybe when we want to intensify things, so that we will see the people who are really with us. Maybe you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. So when it comes to the Holy Spirit, concerning this discussion, I will never have that discussion with you. Do you see? Because maybe by the time I start communicating with you about the Holy Spirit, you change my mind. And the physical things are more easy to believe than the things in the spirit. Because they are the things that we see. That's why you see that you tend to please men more than God. Because men are the people who are looking at you. They are the people who are clapping at you. But me, I'm not preaching because I want you to clap. No. This is what God wants me to share. And that's what I'm sharing. Amen. And I believe you'll be blessed. You see, we please men more than God. My brother would just say, Sarah. Oh, look at the way Sarah will be thinking. Because Abraham knew that if he would have told Sarah, Sarah would not allow him. He didn't even tell Sarah when he sent the boy. Do you see? So your faith, the thing that you believe, there are some people that they are not helping your beliefs. In fact, you can say most of us actually look like people who are backsliding. You don't pray anymore because of the people you talk to. You don't even tithe properly. A whole thing. Prayer line, you will not come. You sleep anytime you want. As for sleep, you can sleep. But for the AM meeting, you don't come. Amen. Does it really show that you believe? You believe that God answers prayer. You believe that there's God answers prayer. But why are you not praying? That's the work to show. Amen. Amen. So there is a substitute for all of us, just like there was a substitute for Abraham. Amen. So prepare to lay off that one. Let's continue. We are talking about works, not this one. That was just by the way. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Do you understand? Bible seest. Seest means see. Thou means you. So have you seen how faith wrought is old word for work. So have you seen how faith worked with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. Don't you see that faith was nice on Abraham? Amen. Bible is saying that, don't you look, can't you see that it is by the work that he did that his faith looked so nice to God? Now God will call him a man like his friend. Let's go. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Look, aren't you surprised that there are some people that when you say, you think that the person is your friend, but you, like, it's the person that you know. And you say, oh, hi, the person. You see, so those of us will be saying, I am a friend of God. You don't know how God is looking at you. Probably because you don't have works to show. I am a friend of, then you are already, I am a friend of. You are twisting, you are, I am a friend. You don't know how God is looking at you. Maybe God is like, eh? Does he really believe what he's saying? Because there's no work. Amen. You believe that there's God? Congratulations. The devil believes, and the devil trembles. That makes it well for those who don't believe that there's God at all. Because the devil you are following believe that there's God. And you are saying that you are an atheist. I pity you. Amen. And all scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, perfection is never the way to be called righteous. Do you see? He believed, shown by his works, or by his works, we understand that he really believed in God. And God called him righteous, like it was counted to him as righteousness. Amen. And he was called a friend of God. Amen. Let's continue. See ye then how that works, that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Amen. You want to be justified? Show it by your work. Let's continue. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot. Hey! Look, what is, don't you see that God is trying to tell you something about your righteous self? Who is this? Look, the Bible says a prostitute. Likewise, a prostitute. Justified by works. She was also justified by works. Do you see? And Bible did not stop there. Do you know why? Because Bible is the, God is the reader of thoughts. Because probably you may be thinking that it's because of her prostitution that she's justified. Do you understand? So Bible said that, likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Then the Bible can tell us the work that she did, not the prostitution. So that you know, be, it's not that we are encouraging. For, no. Bible tried to. Amen. God is predicting what you will be thinking. Apparently, if we should eliminate this thing, most of us, hey, justified by works. So what way that the prostitute does? They say, oh, you may easily think that is the prostitution. But Bible says that when she had received the messages, and has sent them out another way. That's the work, not the prostitution. She did something. Amen. I mean, this was a prostitute, a regular businesswoman in town, that everybody know, that messages went to see him. Two of them. You see? She probably was singing, I can handle it, this one, I go fit do one. You see, like this one there, I go fit handle him. Because usually she has been having one partner. But this one, two men in your room, say this one, don't worry, I go fit do one. Don't worry. They start singing, you know, I can handle it. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. I can handle it. Amen. She was singing. Then one of the preachers went to him and said, oh, stop that rough day. Cover yourself. We are here to preach. Or we are messengers sent by God because God has promised this land to us. And There's a need for us to hide. Amen. Because the people want to kill us. The message sounds so fantastic to this lady, Rahab. I said, why not? You see, I've not heard anything like this before. Instead of what I'm planning to do, I will help you guys by hiding you. Amen. And she then passed them through another way. So when the people came, when the town people came and were looking for these messages, Rahab also opened a jacket in front of them to confuse them. And they also said, oh, we are not here for business. Can you close that thing right there? I mean, Rahab knew that if they should find this man in the house, she will lose her license of practice. She will know that that's the end of her because they will throw her out of town. You see? It's that's faith. That's a level. I'm trying to intensify the level of faith that she had. Because it's at the point that she can lose her license of practicing. Because she was not, look, throughout the Bible, when they mention Rahab, you identify her with prostitution. I mean, Bible was just trying to tell us how Jesus Christ came about, how our Savior came about. Then they later went and said, Rahab the harlot. That's the lineage. You don't know? True, Rahab the harlot. Do you see? And God doesn't seem to be scared of what you have been in the past. If you are in the Bible, God will have mentioned who you were. Amen. Do you see? So Bible is saying that, likewise, was Rahab not justified by her works when she hid the messengers? And you may think that, oh, this is a prostitute. It is not ever by righteousness. It is never by your perfection that God will accept you. Or it's not by, never by your what you do, what you don't do. You see? By your demonstration of faith, working out through works. Amen. It's not, you can't buy this thing. Her name is always in the Bible. I mean, how? Every day, Rahab the harlot. What at all? Luke chapter 8. Let's read Luke chapter 8. 8 verse 1. It's God is not afraid of people, their pastor. He will mention it there. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirit and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, and out of whom were 7 devils. Could that just be that Mary Magdalene? Why do you need to tell us 7 devils went out of her? Not only her, but other people. Joanna, somebody's wife, Herod's wife. He was not scared. You are Herod's wife, and so what? Herod's wife, and so what? You have evil spirit. It was cast out of you. Amen. Amen. And some of us is not evil spirit per se. But just that the experiences that we had in life has made us a very hard person. So you see a brother walking. He's very soft inside, but he's had a hard face. You see, I mean, if you see a sister who has been through issues, you say, oh, hello. You say, why? You see, because of what people have done to her, hello, why? Oh, hi, what? You look beautiful. What? What do you mean? Uh-huh. So you see, that person has become, because of the person's experience, has made the person bitter. Very bitter person. You are a nice person, though. Inside, we know you are soft. You talk, we can't even stand your talking. Amen. Amen. So God is not afraid. Evil spirit, Susanna, mention it anyway. Let's go back to our scripture. We are finishing soon. Amen. You need your faith. Show us the proof that you believe, really believe. You believe that the pastor is the man of God. Why is that when he cancels you, you don't take it? You don't believe. The fact that you don't practice what he said is a lack of faith. And the scripture was, are we here? 24. Likewise, Rahab also justified by this thing. And Bible says, Rahab sent the people through the other way. So maybe probably the house is just another door for high-profile clients. People that, yeah, people that, congressmen and house, senate, when they come, then she'll pass them out. And that's the way where she probably used to pass these guys out. Because they're also very important people. Amen. And Bible says, because of that, what she did, it was counted as she was justified as faith, a demonstration of her faith that he can help the people of God. Amen. Amen. Not by just believing that there's God. But if you say God has the one sent you, I will receive you and give you a treat. Many of us are Christian, but we can't receive messengers of God. Somebody come to your house, oh, I'm a preacher. I don't have anywhere to stay. You may probably reject the person. But this is a prostitute who the town, everybody knew about here. Regular business woman. In fact, if you see a pastor enter her house, you think about it twice. That this pastor is also a regular client. The Bible says that she helped the messengers and it was imputed to her as faith. Amen. So show us the proof of your faith. Not just by saying that you believe. Not just by having a lot of message in your mind. Or not just by reading the Bible a lot. You read the Bible a lot. Why don't you implement the things in the Bible? I mean, when I hear people saying that the Bible is not complete, I mean, I get worried. Because with this thing, we cannot even handle it. What if the apocrypha that we are talking about, you see, it's a way just to run away from doing what we are supposed to do. Believe in God. We are telling him that the Bible is not complete, so you don't believe in God. It's a way you don't want to accept the truth. Look, maybe if the Bible can be only Luke, it will be okay. You can practice the things in Luke. But you want another part to be added. Look, what can we do about the Bible? Tell me which part of it do you want? Apocrypha? Things that they said is not necessary. They took it out. You said you want it again. That there is a sixth and seventh book of Moses. You want it? Are you done with Deuteronomy? Do you see? You are not that. So it's just an excuse. And many of the things that we say, oh, I believe, it's just a way to forget, not to do the practical things that we have to do. When you say, oh, pastor is sharing something, then you say, oh, we believe. It's just to end that discussion. So you move on with your life. Not really because you want to do the work. Amen. And so if there's something to do, do it. When you hear the word of God, you become so, you see, there's nothing to add to you anymore. God will stop talking to you. You become a callous, hardened person. You see, and the fact that you don't feel the effect of the thing doesn't mean that the effect of that thing has reduced. It's you that you have developed this thing. Look, I mean, the winter, one time I closed from work and I was very cold. Do you see? But I realized that this winter, the thing was severe. But I decided that, okay, I lose my mind. Whether it is severe or not, I'm working in it. Anyway, my hand was like ice cube. But I said, to me, it is no pain. I don't care about it. That doesn't mean that the cold has reduced. Do you see? And the fact that you wear a lot of jackets, that means the cold outside is less. So many times we think that the word of God has lost its effect. But no, it is still able to save souls. Do you see? But to you, it's not able to change your heart. So it's not that the pastor is no more anointed. It's not that the hand of God has left the man of God. But it's because of your nature that you have developed immunity, resistance, tough skin, that nothing can bend you. I mean, they say the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. The sword is cutting, but you ask for you there. You can't cut you. So look, ask yourself the kind of skin you have developed. Now you hear the word of God, it doesn't prick you. That tender heart that you have, the cry, the tear that comes to you when you hear the scripture, it doesn't come anymore. It doesn't come anymore. It's very sad. Amen. So let's begin to work with the scripture that we have. Don't ask for more faith. More faith. You demonstrate it. If you have it, do it and let's see. One time, I have a lot of stories. One time I was doing clinical exam and we go cubicle by cubicle. So my friend went ahead of me. That guy was really good, a good guy, like very intelligent. So he went and the professor was sitting. So he had this child with a delay milestone. And that guy went and he was bringing the theory. So the professor said, Otis, stop what you are doing and do the do. So when I heard it, I said, hey, when I get to that professor, I'm not going to talk a lot. I'm going to do the do. He said, Otis, stop what you are doing. Do the do. He's like, you are giving me a lot of theory. I don't understand what I say. Do it. Like, this is the key. Do it and let's see that you know. So it's the proof that you really know or that you really have faith is you. Amen. Last scripture, 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. Amen. So you think that you have, but actually you don't have anything empty. Nothing to show. It's dead. You think you have faith? Nothing. That's why it will come on a day that you are calling on God to answer that prayer. Because you haven't been praying. You don't know how to pray. Actually, if you exercise your muscle, you become more stronger. You know first from the beginning, but you stop praying. Amen. Become powerless. So Bible says that faith, you see, this scripture, to what we can learn from it, that it's true that you are not a body, but you are a spirit. You see? Because Bible is saying that if, as the body without the spirit is dead, so how can we classify a person as physically dead when the spirit is not the person? You see, so you are truly a spirit person. So it's, you see, that when you have faith without works, that faith is dead. There's no life in what you are saying. Actually, you think you have life, but there's no life. You think you are a parodic Christian who believes so much. You go to church, there's nothing happening to you. Your faith is dead. So piling upon messages upon message and hearing message upon message, it becomes so dangerous. Especially for those of us, we are here 24/7. Any meeting at all, you leave your work and come. Of what use is this for you? That you come and listen to the word, nothing is happening. Amen. I mean, I have a fantastic message to preach tonight, which will actually help our Christian work. But I believe this one is also important. Amen. That you begin to show that you really believe by your faith. If you love your husband, prove to your husband that you love him by doing the work. Amen. Do you see? Yeah, that's why many ladies also want, if you love me, take me to the altar. So it's by then that we know. Do you see? I mean, Jesus Christ, what scripture is that? John 21, I think verse 15. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. You love me, do something. Let's continue. Then he said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Third time, he said unto him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Again. Debia, again. Three times. I just told you. Can't you hear? He was grieved. The man became sad. Like, what I told you, you want again? I said I love you. What do you want? Do you think what you said I did not hear? Ah! He was there. The Bible said that Peter was grieved. And he said unto him, the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know everything. That's all. So what again? This thing that I'm saying, you know that I love you. You know everything. Then Jesus continued. Feed my sheep. Amen. So it's like, what, Peter, you said you love me. What I want you to do is that, feed my sheep. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandment. Or, in other words, honor my commandment. Do what my commandment. And commandments are for you to act. When I give you a command, it's either to run. Move. You move. If you say you love God, if you say you believe that there's God, then begin to show us the proof of your faith that you really believe. Amen. Amen. Bible says this is the work of God, that you even believe in the man of God that he has sent to you. It's just work. It will take work just to believe, because he's a man. You can decide not to believe in him. After all, it's no God. Amen. Amen. Bible says it will even work for you to do. Amen. Amen. So let's begin to show our faith by the works that we show. Amen. You read the PBCI, shepherds, let's begin to teach. Amen. Let's begin to visit. Amen. Let's begin to interact. We close church, we don't even, you say hi to the people that you know, and they are gone. And but it's like the church is built on those principles. Visitation, counseling, interaction, prayer. You are a shepherd, you can afford not to pray. You don't even know what the status of your sheep, or what, how they are even faring. But we said we are shepherds. I'm glad that we are all here. I mean, I cannot, Sunday message, this message cannot be preached on Sunday. Before you, I came to church today, tomorrow you want to make me shepherd sheep. I'm tired of it. Amen. So let's begin to show the proof of our faith. That it's only through work. Mr. Bansing, look, just not be too impressed with people who have fantastic things to say. They can read the scripture, like what I'm saying. You can see that, if I don't have words, nothing. It's nothing. You see, Jesus Christ actually told the people, look, these people, listen to them, and listen to what they teach, but don't follow their character. You see, because we are teaching something, but we are doing another thing. Amen. So, let's begin to show the proof of our faith. Because if you listen to the word of God for a long time, you become hardened. And you know that most of us are backsliding. We don't do the things we are supposed to do. You can afford to sleep while the prayer line is going on. That's how insensitive you have become to the word of God. Amen. But we have to have proofs for our faith. Amen. Amen. So next time you see your friend, what are you doing with the last message that you have heard? Yeah. That's an appropriate question to ask. So you were in church the other time. Reverend said this. What are you doing with it? He said, if you are a shepherd, I can ask you. Yeah. Bible says, provoke one another to love. You see, and good works. So have you called anyone? I must be able to ask you. Which scripture are you sharing this week? Nothing. Amen. Amen. So let our faith be demonstrated by the works. Does a man say you have faith and I have works? Show me your faith without your works. You don't have anything to show. But I can tell you that I have not been to that camp. I have not listened to the message I've listened to. In fact, there's nothing that the podcast, I don't even have it. But this is my work. I respect the elderly. Or I even honor the man as my head. It's a proof. It's not about a lot of information. No. Work. Show me your work. This is the person I brought to church. I nurtured this person in church. It's my work. Or I have been able to move and start a church. Or I gather these people and teach based on what I know. Amen. Or based on what I believe. Look, last week we're here, Reverend said something to you. It's very prophetic. You have to operate in it. Amen. It's not just by saying, Reverend, I believe. You have to walk in it. Then you have faith. Amen. Shall I be on our feet and pray?
Sakata labasende de bekata. Inda laba sende debe kapalo boske debe laba daba sende debe kapalaba lebe debo sanda laba kapali be debe sanda lebe kato lebe debe inda laba sende lebe kapali be debe sanda labra kapali be debe sanda laba inda laba sanda laba sanda laba koto skandaba lebe debe sanda laba. Somebody pray to God that you not just be a hearer, but a doer of his word, that you will not be someone who is just puffed up in his house, but someone, not someone who just